in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Bless him in the spirit. Go ahead and bless the name of the Lord. Go ahead and pray in the spirit. Maka bose fila bora bakasa. Sheli marunda safra palatiza. Ele frendo koushali marando sofrahatila. Kapake pura safrando boko shala bakatai. Manda brakatiska. We've come for an encounter. We've come to encounter God through His Word. We've come to encounter Him through His Spirit. Mando bosi frakatiza, lefretoske tila bakatena. We are here for a divine encounter. Manda barakatai, through the Word and the Spirit of God. For these 14 days, mande bresko palida. We've come to be immersed. It's total immersion in the Word and in the Spirit. Total immersion. Mande kebo rapalatiza. Kombreske tole pilatiza. Malabako shalabante sevretoli. Malabarunda safrakapate. Reketoska brande kepo. Mande po rapakasidi. Kempreske tena. Maligabasha. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Lord, our hearts and mind are open. Spirit of the living God, do in us, do with us, do for us what only you can do. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. We acknowledge and reference your presence and your power in our midst. Thank you for the ministry of angels. Thank you for workings of miracles. Thank you for supernatural manifestations of your presence, your power, your glory. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, oh ye people. I say clap your hands, oh ye people. I say clap your hands, oh ye people. Come on, shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. Is it because we are fasting? Your shouting energy has gone down. I say shout to the Lord. Woo! You might be seated in heavenly places. Okay, now I said today we are starting proper. Hallelujah. We are starting a new series proper. Yesterday I wanted to start, but the Lord will have me go in the direction that I went. Title yesterday's message, The Discipline of Fasting. Because fasting is one of... The Discipline of Fasting is a powerful message, okay? If you were not around yesterday, get the message from media. Even if you were around, go and listen to it again and again and again. For sure you will be blessed. Glory to God. Because fasting is one of the discipline of every Christian. I was saying yesterday that the is one of those lost discipline in the Western church, the church in Europe, the church in America. A lot of pastors, ministers there, even Christians, they've lost the discipline of fasting. And that was not the way of those revivalists, those generals we read about. Am I communicating?
That was not their way. They were men given to prayer and fasting. I think, was it 2 years ago or last year, Robert Lyadon came to Abuja. He was in Nigeria. I think he was in Dunamis for a... He was invited for a meeting. Some of the things he said, you know, is so touching. Robert Lyadon was saying the revival that they experienced some years back in the days of the Nketrinkulman, days of all those generals or a robot, name it. He said that revival is no longer there. No longer there in America. In fact, the revival train has moved to Africa now. And if you study the Western church, you will realize that right now what they have more is entertainment. There's so much dependence on human wisdom to do ministry in the Western church. They are no longer depending on the power of the Spirit to a large extent. Why? Because they've lost the art of prayer and fasting. The way of their founding fathers, they have left that way. Now they have to depend on human wisdom. Human wisdom, human logic, intelligence to run church, to grow the church. And it doesn't work like that. Am I communicating? It doesn't work like that. So much noise. No power. In Africa, the yabos that the African church, they like to pray and fast. That's all they know. Thank God, though. I say thank God, though. That's why the revival is now in Africa. Because anywhere you see prayer and fasting, there will be what? Spiritual awakening, revivals, and the move of the Spirit. So as you can see, the Western world, including the Western church, they are now depending on the African church, with the Nigerian church taking the lead. They are now depending on us to take revival to them. The people that brought us the gospel, they are they are now depending on the same Africans that they are yabbing us, that all we know is prayer and fasting. Let them leave us. We like her like that, as long as we are seeing the move of the Spirit. Am I communicating? And prophecy have gone forth that Africa will spearhead the end time revival. Africa will be the leader, with Nigeria at the forefront. Am I communicating? Look at it today. You think I'm. All the frontline cutting edge ministers that are spearheading global revival, that are doing anything massive for God on a global scale, they are, most of them are Nigerians. Am I lying? Am I lying? Is it Nigerian church? You talk of church growth. Is there any church like Redeemed Church? Redeemed Church has churches in all nations under the sun. All nations, 196 countries. Whether it is church growth, whether it is, just mention anything. You see Nigerian church, the apostolic move, Nigerian church. Am I communicating? When you study the Western church, the major challenge with them is that they have left the way of prayer and fasting. They are now depending too much. They are no longer dependent on the Holy Spirit. They are depending on human wisdom, human philosophy, secular method to attract crowd in church. Fun and entertainment, stage and light, fine suit, three-piece suit, fine boy pastors. They are not depending on all these things to attract people. They are no longer depending on the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, there are people that are copying them. Am I communicating? Praise God. Some years back, I heard Bishop Oyedepo said something that shocked me. He said he doesn't read book on church growth by the Western authors. You know, any church growth book by Western author, he said he doesn't read it, because there is no church growth there. He said he only read the one by all these Koreans, Asians, when Yonggi Cho, Pastor Emeritus, how did you think Yonggi Cho grew the largest church? Almost 1 million members. They will be begging you that if you came this Sunday, please don't come next Sunday. Because there will be no space. Allow other people that were not able to come because of space crisis. Allow them. Pastor Adeboye said some years back, when he was looking for members, Redeem was not what it is now. The church had not grown then. He was praying for church growth. So he read the book by Homesell by Yonggi Cho. So he decided to go to South Korea to see the move of God there, how they are doing it. He said he attended service. He saw crowd. They will do service from morning sometimes till evening, multiple services. And he heard Yonggi Cho was announcing that, please, if you came to church this Sunday, don't try to come next Sunday, so that those that were not able to come can come, to give them space. Pastor Adeboye said, what? He said he saw how these people were praying inside mountain. They had prayer mountains. There are rooms inside. They buy mountain to pray, not to query and look for minerals. So to pray, they will now construct rooms inside those prayer mountains. Pastor Adeboye said, them that they came like tourists, you know, them from Nigeria, they entered those prayer mountain rooms to pray. He said he was lost. When others had finished praying, he was not even aware. He was busy there praying. They were waiting for him until they started looking for him. He delayed themselves. God, he said he was just enjoying God's presence. They were dependent on prayer, the move of the Spirit to grow the church. Not this one, they are serving tea, giving people all the user-friendly method. Because that's what we are seeing today. So many user-friendly churches, they are no longer depending on the power of the Spirit. They've left the way of prayer and fasting. And it's a serious matter. Go and see how church is growing in China, underground church. No publicity, no advert. If you try them, that they are wicked, this thing, guy, your head will go. You dare not. How is the church growing? Underground churches. Some of those underground churches have 5,000 members. How many? How can you explain it? I heard that a home cell in one of those underground church, a home cell leader has 5,000 members. And she's just a home cell leader, a woman. Not a pastor, a home cell leader. One of those Chinese generals. One home cell leader has 5,000 members in her cell. That's a mega church. Imagine how the pastors will look like. That's a mega church. They were dependent on the power of the Spirit to attract members, to convict sinners, to grow the church. Not what we're having today. That what people are depending on are carnal methods. Carnal methods. Carnal methods that will not last. Tell your neighbor, learn to pray. Learn to fast. It's for your good. The person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So today we'll enter proper part one. The person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now we'll be exploring the person, the character of the Holy Spirit, and the ministry of the Spirit, the works of the Holy Ghost. So the aim is to help you understand and maximize the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I said the Holy Spirit is the most important person on earth in my introduction yesterday. The Holy Spirit is the most important person on earth. He is the member of the Godhead that is with us now on earth. Jesus When he ascended, he sat at the right hand of God the Father. Father God is a spirit, is forever on the throne. He doesn't leave the throne. So, who is the God that is with us on earth? Somebody say Holy Spirit. You've heard preachers say, the Lord told me, God spoke to me, God said I should do this, God showed me things. Who is that God that is speaking to them? Who is that God that is telling them? Who is that God that is revealing things to them? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third member of the Godhead. There is God the Father, there is God the Son, that's Jesus, God the Father, Jesus, and then God the Holy Spirit. Now, this, when we say Trinity, the three are one. God is one, is one God, but with three distinct personalities, three distinct expressions of his personality. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, they are distinct personalities. They have certain features that are unique to them. Am I communicating? For instance, of the Trinity, the three in one God, Jesus is the only member that has a body of his own. He's the only member of the Trinity that has a body. And you know why? Who knows why? Because of the incarnation, because of the virgin birth, he got his body from his mother Mary. Am I communicating? They called him Mary Pekin when he was small. Am I communicating? He has a woman body. After he resurrected, it became glorified. So because Jesus is the only member of the Trinity that has a physical body, is the only member you can see physically. The Holy Spirit is a spirit. Can you see a spirit? No. Papa God is also a spirit. Can you see a spirit? No. Jesus is the only member of the Godhead because he came to this earth. He was born of a virgin. He's the only member that has a body. Am I communicating? Let me give you another description in terms of function of the Godhead. I said the three in one God, they have their distinct personality. These are distinct personalities, even though they are one. Okay? When you pray, you don't direct your prayer to the Holy Spirit. You don't direct your prayer to Jesus. You direct your prayer to God the Father. Am I communicating? Whatever you ask the Father in my name. So watch this. You pray in the name of Jesus. In other words, in the authority of Jesus, for that prayer is directed to God the Father. It is his office to receive such answers to prayer. Am I communicating? I'm just trying to show you there are differences in function. You don't pray to the Holy Spirit. You don't pray to Jesus. You pray to God the Father. And you pray in the name of Jesus. And that prayer is powered by the Spirit. Are you seeing something? You offer the prayer in the power of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus, to God the Father. Jesus is fully God, 100%. True of us. Jesus is fully God. And that is where some religions have problem with us Christians. How can you say Jesus is God? Doesn't make sense to them. Say somebody way Mary born. How can you say he's God? Eh? They'll say, does you people say Jesus is the Son of God?
born of Mary. And then you people now say Jesus is good. So are you people not confused? That is how they talk over there. They say, does God have a wife? Doesn't make sense to them. Meanwhile, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. John 1:1, and the Word was God. And if you read down, it said the Word became flesh. That's the incarnation. That's God came down. He left heaven because of his love for humanity. Nobody could redeem man. The problem of after the fall of man, God tried everything to salvage humanity. It didn't work. He gave them the law. He gave them the prophet. It didn't work. God had to come in form of Jesus. Am I communicating? He left all the glories in heaven, the incarnation, and the Word. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Am I communicating? This is how Jesus came to planet Earth and was born of Mary. Am I communicating? So Jesus is 100% God. The Holy Spirit is not one-third God. You know, the way sometimes religion has programmed our thinking is that we see God the Father as the most powerful in heaven, seated on the throne. Jesus, God the Son, second most powerful. Then the Holy Spirit, the least powerful. That is how some of us think. You are wrong. Jesus is 100% God. The Holy Spirit is 100% God. Listen, the Holy Spirit is not one-third God. He is 100% God. Am I communicating? He is fully God. And one of the strongest scriptures to prove that the Holy Spirit is God is Acts chapter 5. Can you remember when Ananias and Sapphira lied against the Holy Spirit? There was a revival, there was a move of the Spirit. The believers were selling their landed property. They were into real estate. Where are our real estate people? Please do real estate. It's scriptural. They were into real estate. They had land and landed proper. It's just that when it's time now for you to sell and put it into kingdom work, some of you will start dragging with the Holy Ghost. And I know they hear that one. Read what happened there. You don't know that the purpose of the real estate itself is not just to enrich yourself. It's because God has his kingdom in mind. One day the master will be in need of that, your investment. I look forward to those that will give us 50 acres of land to build Avalanche City. They were selling land, houses. They will drop the money at the apostles' feet. Nobody was begging them to give up. They were led by the Spirit. And then in that revival, you know, in every revival there will always be those that will do their own in the flesh. There will always be those that want to do their own things in the flesh. There will be the genuine one by the Spirit too. Then there will be fleshly ones too. So that was, people were selling land, giving by the Spirit. Ananias and Sapphira, they joined the bandwagon. They say, we too. And they know who do and well. They sold the land. They divided the money into two. Hide part of it, then carry part.
and came and lied to Peter the apostle, who was in charge. He said, this is all the money for the land. Did anybody beg you to give? Why are you then lying? Peter said, is this all the money? I swear. And he answered, I swear. Now all the money. Peter knew it was a lie. Oh. Because Peter was so close, intimate with the Holy Ghost. You know, when you are intimate with the Holy Spirit, it's easy to know when people are lying. It's so easy to know. People have lied to me and I knew. Even some of you. Look at them. I did not tell you you were lying, but I knew it was a lie. Out of love, I would just smile and look at you. But I know it was a lie. If you like, do I, eh? Now the truth. See, when you are intimate with the Holy Spirit, you will know when somebody lies to you. Yes, Pastor Simi can. He's a spirit of truth. So if you lie, they'll tell you, there will be a bell. Grrrr. It's like that lying machine that is where you lie. There will be a reaction in my spirit. I will know that, that's a lie. That's a lie. Praise God. When you were asking, why were you not around? You just cook one lie. Why were you not around in church? You now cook lie. And you think in your mind you outsmarted us. Don't know that in love, you just ignored your foolishness. The lie you told us. You think we believed it. We didn't believe it. We knew it was a lie. Just that we didn't tell you that you were lying. That you don't feel bad. Praise God. So they lie though. Are you following the story? Peter said, Ananias, why had Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Next verse. Whilst it remained, was it not your own? Was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Holy day. Now, this is the strongest verse in the Bible. I know there are other verses that proves beyond any iota of doubt that the Holy Spirit is God. Did you notice in the... Give me verse 3 again. Follow the trend. Go back to verse 3. He said, why hast thou lied to who? He said, he lied to who? He lied to who? He lied to who? Jump to verse 4. You have not lied unto men, you have lied unto who? You have lied unto who? That means the Holy Ghost equals to God. Simple equation. Abi, mathematics. If A equals B and B equals C, that means A equals C. Is it difficult? Where are the mathematicians, statisticians in the house? Eh? Where are they? Those are red mathematics. Mathematics students. Statistics. Is it not simple equation? If A equals B and B equals C, that means A equals C. In verse 3, he said you lied to the Holy Ghost. In verse 4, he said you lied to God. Tell your neighbor, the Holy Ghost is fully God. And listen, the Holy Ghost is co-equal with God the Father and co-equal with God the Son in sovereignty, in authority, and in power. Is co-equal, is not less powerful. In fact, you will get to know in the course of this teaching series that the Holy Ghost is actually the custodian of the power of the Godhead. As in, is the custodian of the power of God. The department called power is in his custody. That's why it's called the power of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He's the custodian of the power of the Godhead. How dare you think that is the least powerful? Hallelujah. A lot of Christians are ignorant when of the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But we intend to solve that. We intend to cure that ignorance with adequate light in this new series. Because listen, without the Holy Spirit, without the help of the Holy Spirit, you cannot do much. In fact, you know what Jesus said? He said, I can do nothing of my own self. Jesus was during his earth walk, he was utterly dependent, completely dependent on the Holy Spirit. Am I communicating? John chapter 5, verse 19. Watch this. Jesus was utterly reliant on the Holy Spirit for everything. That was why he succeeded. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, very verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Can you see that? The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. And I told you that the Father there is talking of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was the person that impregnated Mary. In Matthew 1:18, we saw yesterday that Jesus is called the child of the Holy Ghost. Am I communicating? The Holy Spirit brings to us the presence of the Father who is on the throne and does not leave the throne. Everything God does, he does by his Spirit. God the Father does not leave the throne. Everything he does anywhere in the whole world, and his presence is everywhere at the same time. That's why it's called omnipresent. He does by his Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that is giving me utterance to minister, empowering me to minister, is the same Holy Spirit that is opening your understanding, giving you revelation. Are you getting me? It's the same Holy Spirit. And at the same time, he's convicting a sinner somewhere so that the person will get born again. At the same time, he's anointing another person somewhere around the world. And he's doing all these things at the same time. Only God has such ability. Satan is not omnipresent. He's localized. Satan can only be in one place at a time. If Satan is in your village, he cannot be here at the same time. What Satan operates with is his network. Satan has zoned the world. He has put his demons over nations, over continents, over territories. He works with network. For instance, if Satan wants to know what is happening in China, since he cannot be everywhere at the same time, he communicates with the principalities he has put, the rulers he has put over that nation of China. That's the only way we know. Outside of that, he will never know. There are many things you do that Satan does not know. You know, sometimes we give Satan too much glory. Okay, John 5:19. Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself, but what, he said, the Son can do nothing of himself, what he seeth the Father do. In other words, the Holy Spirit reveals to Jesus what Jesus is supposed to do. Jesus was guided. You remember, he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. He will take of mine and reveal it to you. The Holy Ghost is a spirit of revelation. This was how Jesus operated. Am I communicating? That was why he never got anything wrong. He was dependent on the Spirit. He said, what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. He made known, it was the Holy Spirit that revealed the will of God to Jesus. He was always revealing the will of the Father to Jesus so that Jesus will act accordingly. So Jesus was not just experimenting or doing guesswork. Mm-mm. He had a revelation of the Father's will, and then he will now do the will. Why? because of the Holy Spirit. Next verse. For the Father loveth the Son and sheweth him. You see, he shows him. He shows him. Who is that Father that is showing Jesus? The Holy Spirit. Revelation. He showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than this, that ye may what? Marvel.
Hallelujah.
So he shows what God is doing in the spirit. He shows revelations. He shows the will of God. There is no confusion about it. Jump to verse 30. Watch verse 30. John 5, 30. He said, I can, what? Of my own self. This is Jesus talking. Do nothing. This is during his earth work. Okay, let me make a statement that will help you. Now, I started by saying Jesus is 100% God, right? He was with God. Now, listen to this. When Jesus came to this earth, he emptied himself of all the rights and privileges that accrue to him as a member of the Godhead. He emptied himself. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. Am I communicating? That's what are those rights and privileges that accrue to Jesus as a member of the Godhead? His sovereignty, omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience. Am I communicating? Any future that is associated with the Godhead that you can think of, Jesus emptied himself of all of that and became a man and was born by Mary. Are you seeing something? You now see why he needed to depend on the Holy Spirit as a man, because he was living in this human body. He was not listen, Jesus did not operate with any power that accrued to him as a member of the Godhead. No, when he was on earth. This understanding is very important. Did you hear what I just said? Jesus did not function with any of the right or privilege or authority or power that accrued to him as a member of the Godhead when he was on earth. Rather, he functioned as a man who was anointed and empowered by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit, absolutely dependent on the Holy Spirit. That's why it says how God, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus needed to be anointed by the Holy Ghost as a man. So that's why I made that statement. During Jesus's earthly ministry, he did not function with any of the power or right or privilege that accrued to him as a member of the Godhead in heaven. Rather, he functioned as a man that was anointed and enabled by the Holy Ghost. Are you seeing something? There is a huge difference between the two. I told you that he humbled himself and emptied himself. Philippians 2 talked about how Jesus, he made himself of no reputation. He did not consider it, he didn't consider equality with God as a thing to be grasped. Am I communicating? He decided to empty himself out of love, and then he came as a man. Am I communicating? And as a man, he needed to be empowered by the Holy Ghost. Have you ever asked yourself, before Jesus was baptized by John at River Jordan, and then the Holy Ghost descended, the heavens were open, the Holy Ghost descended upon him like a dove, and the voice of God spoke. Before that encounter, and then he was later led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and then he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. before Satan came with his temptation, and then he overcame all those temptations. And in Luke 4:14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, and then he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." Luke 4:18, "For he has anointed me." When he took that scroll and he saw the prophecy of Isaiah, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind the brokenhearted, to open blind eyes, to set the captives free, to declare the opening of prison to them that are bound, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, have you ever wondered, before this infilling and empowerment of the Spirit, why didn't Jesus perform any miracle as the carpenter? Because Jesus started ministry at 30, right? He was 30. He only did ministry for 3.5 years. Jesus, the carpenter, from birth to before 30. Did you ever heard? Did you ever read in the Bible that Jesus did any miracle? Did he do any? Was there anything special about his life? His life was normal for those 30 years, like any other person. His life was normal. That was why I said he functioned as a man. Am I communicating? He functioned as a man. He didn't heal anybody. He didn't raise any dead person. He didn't multiply any fishes. He didn't turn water to wine. He did nothing. For those 30 years, his life was as normal as any other normal human being. It was after the Holy Ghost fire, after the Holy Ghost anointed him, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Watch this. Jesus the carpenter, that was just a businessman living an ordinary life, suddenly he started living a supernatural life. After he was anointed by the Holy Ghost, empowered by the Spirit, his miracles began. His miracle ministry began. Am I communicating? He started walking in the miraculous. The life of the master became an unending stream of the miraculous. Why? Because of the presence of the Holy Ghost. Am I communicating? See, the Holy Ghost makes you more than the ordinary human being. I'm telling you, the day you receive the Holy Ghost, you cease to be ordinary. It was the one that made the life of Jesus extraordinary. Your life ceases to be natural, normal, like normal people. Am I communicating? It was the one that made the life of Jesus supernatural. Can you imagine? The carpenter, Jesus the carpenter, he started walking signs and wonders. He walked on water. He multiplied the bread and fishes. He opened blind eyes, unstopped deaf ears, raised the dead, caused the lame to walk. Am I communicating? Why? Because of one person that came into his life, the Holy Spirit. The messianic mission of Jesus could not. The messianic mission of Jesus could not be fulfilled without the empowerment and the help of the Holy Ghost. That was why I said the Holy Ghost is the most important person on earth. Dr. Miles Murrow calls him the governor of God's kingdom on earth. He's the governor of the kingdom of God in the earth realm. And this is why it's so important that you get to know about this amazing personality. Even kingdom service, God doesn't want you to offer kingdom service without the power of the Spirit. You are to offer kingdom service through the Holy Ghost. Through the Holy Ghost. I wrote something down. Let me read it out to you. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate secret of success in life and ministry. It was the secret behind the success of Jesus' life and ministry. It was the secret behind the success of the apostles and the early church in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit is the believer's unparalleled advantage. The Holy Spirit is your most prized possession as a believer on earth. Your most prized possession, your most valuable possession is not things, is the Holy Spirit in your life. It will bring every other thing you need. Am I communicating? The most important relationship, the most important fellowship is with the Holy Ghost. The most important relationship you need in life is with the Holy Spirit, not human relationship. I'm not saying the human relationship don't have their place, but the number one relationship you need is your relationship with the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's the Holy Spirit that will bring to you all the human relationships that you need. Am I communicating? Jesus was utterly dependent upon the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit during his earth work. The apostles and the early church were also dependent on the Holy Spirit and his ministry. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit was the one that made Jesus the Messiah. Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost at River Jordan after John the Baptist baptized him. When he came out of the water, the Bible says the heavens were open, and then the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the similitude of a dove, and God spoke, God the Father spoke, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." It was the Holy Ghost that empowered Jesus and enabled Jesus supernaturally to fulfill his messianic ministry, his messianic mission. He said, "The Spirit," Luke 4:18, "the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me, he has empowered me, he has graced me, he has enabled me, he has energized me to produce supernatural result." Am I communicating? To fulfill my ministry. You cannot fulfill your calling without the Holy Spirit. You cannot fulfill your ministry, whether in the fivefold or in the marketplace. Whether you are a politician, or you are a business person, or you are a media personnel, it doesn't matter your calling, or a doctor, a lawyer, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. Without him, you cannot fulfill your divine calling, purpose, and destiny. Because he's your helper, he's your strengthener, he's your counselor, he's your intercessor, he's your advocate, he's your standby, he's your comforter. Am I communicating? Jesus couldn't do anything without the help of the Holy Spirit. We saw it in John 5:19 and John 5:30. Jesus offered his own blood, and he offered himself as a sacrifice to God. That was after he died, through the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 9:14, watch this. After Jesus died, watch this. He needed to offer himself. He offered his blood, and he offered the sacrifice of himself to God the Father through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. So that means for your priestly sacrifices, your offerings to be acceptable to God, you must offer it through the Spirit. Am I communicating? You offer it through the Spirit. You do it in the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit. So you need the guidance, you need the direction, you need the leading, you need the empowerment of the Spirit for it to be acceptable. Glory to God. You don't do it in the flesh. You don't do it in the flesh. He said, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through what? The eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Did you see that? Jesus Christ he offered his own blood. He offered himself to God through the power of the Spirit. Am I communicating? Who raised Jesus from the dead? Romans 8:11. Who raised Jesus from the dead? Without the Holy Spirit, Jesus wouldn't have resurrected. It was the Holy Spirit. It was the power of the Spirit. It was the Holy Ghost that quickened Jesus. He made him to come alive in the Spirit. It was the Holy Ghost that quickened his mortal body. Am I communicating? Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. So that's telling you that it was the Holy Ghost after those 3 days and three nights, after Jesus had suffered in hell, he had paid the price for humanity's transgression, he has paid the price for Adam's high treason, he has paid the price for our sins, present, past and future. After Jesus had poured the full brunt of God's judgment against sin, the Holy Ghost came on the third night and quickened him. Am I communicating? He was raised to life by the power of the Spirit. Jesus gave commandments to the disciples and apostles after his resurrection through the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 verse 2. He gave what? He gave what? He gave what? Help me. Commandment through the Spirit. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he through what? The Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostle whom he had chosen. Jesus gave commandments to the apostle through the Holy Ghost. This was after resurrection. Through the Holy Ghost. And then, how did Jesus ascend to heaven? How did he ascend? After he was done teaching them, showing them glad tidings concerning the kingdom of God for those 40 days after he resurrected. The Bible says for 40 days he was teaching them, right? Showing them glad tidings of the kingdom. That was after he said they should tarry in the city of Jerusalem in the upper room until they be clothed with power from on high. The Bible says after he had done all of that, he ascended into heaven. By whose power did he ascend? Talk to me now. How did Jesus ascend into heaven in the sight of everybody? He levitated against the law of gravity, defied gravity, went up. They were watching him. The cloud received him from their side, and he seated at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus ascended by the power of the Spirit, just like Elijah that was carried up by a whirlwind. It was through the power of the Spirit. Remember, Elijah moved by the transportation of the Spirit, through the power of the Spirit. Can you see that? Almost everything about Jesus' life was powered by the Spirit. If Jesus was this dependent on the Holy Spirit, what makes you think you can do without him? So I'm teaching you so that it will create a desire for to know the Holy Spirit more, to create this desire. One of my goal is to create the hunger and desire for the Holy Ghost in you like never before. For that relationship with him, for fellowship with him, to get to know him more. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person. He's a person. He's a personality. He's not a human being, but he's a person. When we say the Holy Ghost is a person, some of you think that it's only human beings that are persons. You are wrong. Angels are persons. They are personalities, true of us. They are spiritual beings. They are spiritual personalities. They are not human beings. So we have spirit personalities, then we have human beings that are also persons. So when we say somebody is a person, it does not necessarily mean it's equal to a human being. Am I communicating? He is a spirit. You don't see spirits with your eyes. But he's a person. What makes someone a person. Number one, the Holy Ghost. This is why he is a person. He has a will of his own. Am I communicating? He has a mind of his own. Who has known the mind of the Spirit? He that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit. He makes intercession for us according to the will of God. The Holy Ghost has a mind of his own. He has a will of his own. So he can make choices. He can make decisions. He has a mind. He's an intelligent spirit. In fact, the Holy Ghost is the most intelligent being. That's why when you listen to him, you become so smart. You can outsmart every other person on the planet. He's a very intelligent being. He's a creative being. Am I communicating? He's the spirit of wisdom. The Holy Ghost has emotion. He has emotion. That's why the Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. He can be grieved. He can be happy. He can be sad by your actions. There are some things you do. You sadden the Holy Spirit. You grieve him. But it doesn't mean he will leave you. Even when you mess up and sin, he doesn't like what you did, though. You just saddened him, you grieved him, but because he loves you, he will still be there to try to help you to overcome that sin or to come out of the mess. Am I communicating? Because some people have wrongly thought that when you sin, the Holy Ghost will just vex. See, if the Holy Ghost leaves you like that forever, you are doomed. You have lost your salvation. You cannot be saved again. Now, if he leaves you, say, how can you even overcome that sin? It's not possible. Rather, this is what happened. When you sin, he is not happy with what you did, though. He will feel sad. He might even be grieved. But because God's love for us is unconditional, he will now come to help you. Remember, he is our helper. He will try to help you to clean up the mess. He will try to help you to overcome the sin. He will try to help you to come out of that. Am I communicating? That sinful habit. That's the Holy Spirit for you. But he will never ever leave you as a child of God. He will never ever forsake you. Am I communicating? When we got born again, we were sealed with the seal of the Holy Ghost. Without that seal, it means you are no longer God's property. That's why I say he cannot leave you as a child of God. If he leaves you, you are doomed. When will the Holy Spirit leave? When you renounce Christ as a Christian. When you renounce Christ. The sin of renouncing, rejecting Jesus willfully, you renounce him. How did you get born again? You confessed his lordship. So how do you lose your salvation? You renounced him. That's when you lose your salvation. He leaves you. That means this person is lost. The person cannot be saved again. It's even more terrible than a sinner. But a sinner still has hope to get saved because the Holy Ghost can convict a sinner to repent. But a believer that loses salvation is doomed. He cannot be saved again. Impossible. That's why I always tell people, never you renounce Jesus. Not even at gunpoint. It's even better you die as a martyr than to renounce Jesus. You know, there are some people, they say, if you don't renounce Jesus, we will kill you. Listen, don't ever renounce Jesus for any reason. Because you can lose your salvation. Some people say once saved, forever saved. Now, we need to bring balance to some things. Salvation and redemption is eternal. It's not, you don't easily lose your salvation, but salvation can be lost. And I just showed you a major way people can lose their salvation is when they renounce Jesus. That's the unforgivable sin. See, the unforgivable sin that Jesus said, when you sin against the Holy Ghost, no forgiveness, is this sin of the rejection of Christ. When you reject Jesus, and when we say the rejection, there are two dimensions to it. When you preach the gospel to a sinner and he refuses to accept Jesus, and he willingly rejects Jesus after he has heard the gospel, you made the offer of salvation, the person refuses, he rejects Christ. Watch this. And then the person dies that way, the person is going to hell. Why? He has committed the unpardonable sin. He rejected Jesus. Then the second dimension to the rejection of Christ is when a believer willingly renounces Christ. He has also rejected Christ. Am I communicating? He will lose his salvation. The Holy Ghost will leave. He is no longer heaven bound. Rather, he is bound for... For where? He's no longer a believer safe. The moment he loses his salvation, he becomes an unbeliever instantly. That's why I say, don't ever renounce Jesus. It doesn't matter. No matter what, don't renounce Jesus. Even if they put knife to your throat, don't renounce Jesus. If deliverance does not come, die with your Jesus. There is hope for you beyond this world. Am I coming? We've read about in church history martyrs that have died. Some of them died singing hymns. They released lion and hyenas. They were using them in the Roman Empire. They were using them for sport. They forced them. They threatened them to renounce Jesus. They said, "No, we will not renounce Jesus." Then sings my soul. Some of them were singing and they were. They threw them into the fire like that. Some of them were singing like this. They cut off their head. But they have their salvation. When they die like that, their spirit goes to heaven. Tell your neighbor, don't renounce Jesus. Somebody now say, what of the believer that died on top of somebody, on bed of fornication? Or rapture happen. The person was fornicating. Pam param bam. As if now then God tell Mike, I better blow the trumpet, blow. And the guy there on top woman. Say with that one go. Some people have thought that they will be raptured. Now lie, you know they go anywhere. Cana Christians. You know they go any rapture. If I not go over here, the sound of the trumpet, the sin has dulled the spiritual hearing. Hope you know that the trumpet is not a physical sound for this physical ear. It's in the spirit. So if you are not in the spirit, if you are carnal, you not go hear yourself. You go just discover, say some of us don't japa. We don't jackpot go heaven. Am I communicating? So you have to be in the spirit. Are you getting me? The believers messing up like that, they will not go. They won't go with the first flight. They are candidate for second flight. They will still make heaven, chao, because their salvation is still intact. They will make later, but through second flight, that means they will go through the great tribulation, the terrorist government of the Antichrist, and all the terrible things that will be happening on earth. They won't go with first flight, though. Am I communicating? They will suffer for their foolishness. Am I communicating? But as long as their salvation is intact, as long as they did not collect the mark of the beast in their forehead or in their palm, anybody that collects that mark of the beast during that great tribulation, the second 3.5 years, anybody that collects, including Christians, once they collect it, they are doomed. No salvation for them. They are doomed. Where will they end? Lake of fire. So even after missing rapture, believers should not still collect the mark of the beast. That's the only way they can make heaven. They should endure the suffering. It's going to be terrible. In fact, Jesus said the suffering will be so much, some of them will stand in front of rock and mountain, say, please fall on us. It's better you fall on us than for us to suffer like this. In other words, Jesus said people will wish death. They will prefer death to the suffering and the torture. Tell your neighbor, don't miss first flight too. That's why Jesus said, don't just get ready, live ready. Be like those 5 wise virgins. Keep your lamp burning, your spirit aglow, your spirit on fire. Be alive in the spirit. Be prayerful. Spend time in the word. Am I communicating? Be like those 5 wise virgins. The parable of the 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish virgins is a picture of the rapture. It's the rapture of the church. It's not the second coming of Christ, though. It's the rapture of the church. I've taught you before that there is a difference between the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ. The rapture of the church will happen 7 years before the second coming of Christ. The parable of those virgins is talking of the rapture of the church. You see, at midnight there was a sound that the bridegroom cometh. Is that not a picture of the rapture? That the archangel will descend with a sound. Am I communicating? The dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive and remain will now be caught up with him. Hallelujah. You will not miss it, oh. I say you will not miss it, oh. Rise to your feet. Have you been blessed today? We are doing introduction. We'll go deeper tomorrow. Hallelujah. Salvation is impossible without the Holy Spirit. He is the one who convicts sinners to repentance. In John 16 verse 7, you see the convicting power of the Spirit that leads people to salvation. In fact, let me tell you something. The reason why you got born again is because the Holy Ghost convicted you when you heard the gospel. It was the convicting power of God that led to your salvation. Am I communicating? Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, that is the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Next verse. He said, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Next verse. Of sin, because they believe not in me. You see that? Refusal to believe in him. You see that? Go back to that verse 9. He will reprove the world. Okay, verse 8. He will reprove the world of sin. Give me an amplified. So he's the one that reproves. He convicts sinners to repentance and then salvation. Hallelujah. Do you have amplified? Verse 8. He said, when he comes, he will convict and convince the world of sinners. Are you seeing that? He will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin and then about righteousness. Hallelujah. Then also in Acts 2:37, after Peter preached that powerful sermon on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says the people that listened to him, they were pricked in their heart. Who pricked their heart? That is a manifestation of the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. See, when you go about preaching the gospel, doing evangelism, I want you to be conscious of the Holy Spirit. Be conscious of His ministry. He's the one that convicts your hearers, the sinners listening to you. So depend on Him. The wisdom and the power for soul winning, it comes from the Holy Ghost. He gives you the wisdom. He gives you utterance. He tells you what to say. He guides you. He leads you as you go about winning souls. He also releases that convicting power as you preach the gospel. And then sinners come to Christ. So it's beyond your English. It's beyond your eloquence. Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You see that? It brought them to the point of decision, to make that decision for Christ. It convicted them. It pricked their heart. And then I said, after you got saved, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13. You were sealed. As in, God sealed you with the Holy Ghost to show that you are my property. As in, you belong to Him. Am I communicating? Look at that last part. He said, after ye believed, he said, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Next verse. Which is the earnest or down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. God purchased you spirit, soul and body. And at the rapture, He will come and collect everything. Am I communicating? He said He put a stamp of ownership on you. That's the seal. It's the Holy Spirit. It is that stamp of ownership. Am I communicating? That's why I said without Him, you cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit. Number two, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot maintain your salvation. Am I communicating? Impossible. Shalabako seketena. You know, we are in the dispensation. We are in the era of the Holy Spirit. There was the era of God the Father in the Old Testament. Then, when Jesus came in Matthew, the era of God the Son. Then after Jesus finished His own and left, He said, I send to you, I will not leave you comfortless. I won't leave you as orphan. I send to you the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Ghost. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come. And when did He finally come? He came on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. That was when the Holy Ghost left heaven officially to inaugurate and start His ministry in the church. That was when the dispensation, the era of the Spirit began. And guess what? The church age began. You know, we are still in the church age. Why is it called the church age? Because of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in the church. The church is in charge. We are in government in this earth realm. This is the church age, and this church age will continue until the church is raptured. Then we will now enter the era of the Antichrist. This is not the time for the Antichrist to rule on earth. It's still church age. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is living in the church. Am I communicating? And we'll continue to rock things until rapture. And as long as we are not raptured, we are in charge. The Antichrist has no right to show his ugly head. So when you hear news that, hey, they say Antichrist, they don't burn him, nah, lie. He no fish show face. They no burn him. As long as the church is still on earth, his time has not come. We are the one restraining his manifestation. Bible says, until he that letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. The church must be taken out of the way for the Antichrist to be revealed. And that will be after the church. After the rapture. That's why I say don't miss first flight. If you miss first flight, that means you are Antichrist. You go see wine, you go see wing, wine, wine. How did they talk about? During the Antichrist reign, you go see what? You go see wing on it. Glory to God. Genesis 1, verse 1. The Holy Spirit was the first member of the Godhead to be revealed in the Bible. Watch this. in the beginning God. That God there, the Hebrew word is Elohim. Elohim is like plural name for the Godhead. Am I communicating? Elohim is what? The plural name of the Godhead. That means God the Father, the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That is non-specific. We don't know which one. It is in the beginning, the Godhead created the heavens and the earth. Elohim. Next verse. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God. Can you see? He was the first member of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, was the first member of the Godhead to be revealed to us in the Bible. Yet many Christians are ignorant of him. Before Jesus was revealed, before the God the Father was revealed, the first member of the Trinity to be revealed in the Bible is the Holy Spirit. Look at it. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then God, Jesus, who is the living Logos, verse 3, and God said, am I communicating? How come the first member of the Godhead to be revealed in the scriptures is the one that is least known among Christians? Think of it. Is the one that most people don't know about him. How come? Well, how did we get here? Which road we pass? Lift up your hands. Say, Father, I receive grace to know the Holy Spirit more. I receive grace for deep level of fellowship, for a deep relationship and fellowship with the Holy Spirit like never before. Go ahead and pray that prayer. As pray it from the depth of your heart. I receive grace to know the Holy Ghost as a person. Grace to relate with him. Grace, konda barakatia, is the spirit of wisdom, is the spirit of revelation, is the spirit of understanding, is the spirit of knowledge, is the spirit of the fear of the Lord, is the spirit of power, is the spirit of might. The Bible talks about the seven spirit of God. These are sevenfold manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Manda parakosko brekete. I subscribe to the ministry of the Spirit. Grace to be intimate with the Holy Ghost. The hunger, the desire for relationship and fellowship with the Holy Ghost like never before. I receive grace. I receive grace. Are you praying? The Holy Ghost knows things you don't know. He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of our inheritance. He said, what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered the hearts of men, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. He said they are being revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit that searches all things, yea, the deep things of God, is the Spirit of revelation. Is the Spirit that gives you light. It causes the word of God to come alive. Is the one that opens your eyes to mysteries and secrets. Manda barakataya is the one that grants you a seeing eye, a hearing ear, and a wise and understanding heart. The Holy Ghost is the revealer of all our blood-bought inheritance. He reveals the future. He demystifies the future. So we no longer suffer from fear of the tomorrow. We are no longer afraid of the future. It kills every fear of the unknown. Fear of the future. It kills them. Mande boroko sofra kapatai.
Jesus offered himself through the Spirit. He offered through the eternal Spirit. He offered himself to God. Even kingdom service must be offered by the Spirit, must be powered by the Spirit, must be done in the Spirit. Kasabalatiza. Grace to subscribe to his guidance. I want you to begin to lift up your voice. Listen, Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you. His number one assignment is to guide you. In the journey of life, you need a guide. He is a sure guide. He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into destiny. He will guide you to fulfill your calling, your purpose. He will guide you in God's will. He will guide you. He will reveal the will of God to you. You will not be confused. He will guide you into all truth. You will not become a victim of error. You will not end up in error when he's the one guiding you. He will guide you as you explore the word of God. As you read and study God's word, he will guide you so that you don't end up in heresy. He will guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. So the Holy Ghost is our sure guide. Begin to cry out for divine guidance and direction, for divine revelation, visions from the Holy Ghost in this season. I refuse to depend on my brain too much. I refuse to depend on my human understanding. I refuse to depend on my intelligence. I refuse to depend on my mind. I yield myself to the guidance and leadings of the Holy Ghost. Shabala Subalatia. He said he will teach you. He will teach you. He will teach you. The Holy Ghost is the best teacher. He teaches better than anyone else. He teaches better than experience. He teaches better than every human being. He teaches better than any other spirit. He will teach you. He will teach you. Come on, lift up your voice. Say, Holy Ghost, teach me. Teach me God's word. Teach me about my life and destiny. Teach me about business. Teach me about entrepreneurship. Teach me about every area of my calling. Lift up your voice. Holy Ghost, teach me about media ministry. Teach me about politics, governance, leadership. Teach me about ministry work, pastoral work. Teach me about prayer. Teach me about your word. Every part of my life. Teach me about marriage. He said he shall teach you all things. He shall teach you all things, including academic things, including those courses in your school, including your course of study. He will teach you all things. He will teach you. He will teach you. He is the best teacher anyone can ever act of or ever dream of. Kapalia la bakasa, ronde ke frete letina, agabagadiki palakatai, elefrido sepelete, elifrato sepelete, ikapalata sabalata, erondo kovraka patai. I subscribe to your teaching ministry, Spirit of the Living God. I subscribe to your teaching ministry. Ayagabagadai, he will guide you, he will teach you. He will show you. Now listen. The first thing in this verse, he said he will guide you. His second assignment, he will teach you. The third assignment, he will show you. I want you to lift up your voice. Holy Ghost, show me things concerning my life and destiny. Show me, reveal to me my blood-bought inheritance. Reveal to me your plans and purposes. Show me the will of God. Show me the plans and purposes of God. Show me what I don't know. Show me concerning the future, my glorious future and destiny. Liga is a spirit of visions and revelation. Begin to cry out for an outpouring of the spirit of vision, the spirit of revelation in this season. Holy Ghost, open my eyes, anoint my eyes with eyesight, that I may see and receive direction. Echo brakataka brakatai, that I may see and know your will. Ikombolonto embrekete, let there be confusion be cleared. I refuse to be confused. Libarakataya. Concerning my relationship and marital destiny, reveal your will. Show me. Ikalobakida. Show me what to do. Show me the one you have ordained for me. Show me the appointed one. Show me the one you have ordained as my husband or wife. Ikabola takabaya. Concerning business, show me what to do for my business to explode. Show me what to do for ministry to explode. Show me what to do. Liga bakatai, for my finances to somersault to the next level. Ikabora kapatai. Show me your will. Father, show me your plans and purposes through the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Elaboko sekete. In the name of Jesus, lift up your hands. In the name of Jesus, by the power that raised Jesus from the dead, I decree and declare, receive grace for divine direction. Receive grace for divine guidance. The Holy Ghost will guide you. You will never miss your way. You will never miss it. It will guide you into all truth. You will not be a victim of error. You will not be a victim of deception. You will not be a victim of foolishness. In the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost is your teacher. I prophesy, receive the teaching ministry of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare an outpouring of the spirit of revelation, the spirit of visions, the spirit of revelation, the spirit of vision. I command your spiritual eyes to open to the visions of the spirit. I command your spiritual ears to open to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost guiding and directing you. You will hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, as you journey through life. In the name of Jesus, receive grace for supernatural wisdom, supernatural understanding, revelation knowledge like water, revelation knowledge like rain, insight into mysteries and secrets, supernatural light in the name of Jesus. The seven spirits of God are ministering for you like never before. Thank you, Father. It is done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glowy generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Salon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.